The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Motor mouth, like someone that stops doesn't stop talking. Why every time I get these questions, I always think Clint first.
Why am I even screwing around? It's Clint Boyer.
Boyer talks a lot. Boyer talks a lot of nonsense.
He says, "Hey, you want to do TV?" I said, "I'll do it, but I want to go over there and interview those guys sitting out there in the rain."
Always chatty. It's probably Boyer these days. He likes to talk a lot.
It's fun to talk.
Clint's like that, you know, just jabbering and jabbering.
Boyer.
The Chiefs are playing right here. I heard something happen.
Clint Boyer. He's a motor mouth.
I would go with Clint Boyer. And I know for a fact, if he was standing right behind me, he would validate that.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't have said that.
Probably Clint Boyer. Is that a common answer?
Welcome to a special Thursday edition of Motor Mouth. Speaking of Clint Boyer, he's here with us today. Everyone join us, my friend Kyle Petty. Clint, I think everyone, I mean, obviously Paul summed it up best.
Boyer.
Clint Boyer. Do you feel like that's an appropriate label for you?
Hey, man, you got to earn something in life.
It's true.
Motor mouth is it.
That's good.
I'm your guy.
I just want to be clear. We never hope for a rain delay, ever. But when you get a gift like you gave us at Darlington. I just want you to know.
What a great interview.
It makes what a great all interview. Worth it.
That was. There was so many things that were going through my mind when I finally got up there through all the puddles and all the stuff. But once I got there, I had the horrible dilemma on my hands. I get there and I'm thinking, oh my God, I hope this kid's old enough to be drinking, because I didn't think he was like, buddy, it's too late.
Yeah, it's too late.
I'm mixing it and bury you.
I'm committed. And if you go down a bad path, you took Dave with you. Like the sweetest person
nicest guy in the world.
And that's you can't hear the producer in the ear going like, okay, this has been 5 minutes. Let's wrap it up. That's you don't know.
Wrap it up.
So you just hold the mic.
It's fun to interact with our fans, and fans like those boys that day. Just what a great story, you know.
Cool.
And now I found him on Instagram, and
oh no way.
And he's you know, he serves, and good dude, man.
Yeah.
So it's always a spur of the moment thing like that, but it ends up turning into something pretty cool.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It's magical. Let's get to today's starting grid, shall we? Alex Bowman and Bubba Wallace traded a little paint last weekend and a high-fuel sports drink known as Powerade. Last week of the Robos, Bowman's playoffs continue. Does he need to look out? Well, plus, we're also going to continue our celebration of grassroots by visiting the place where Clint Boyer honed his racing chops in that Chevette. And we want to hear from you, so call us at 844-NASCAR-NBC or reach us on social with the hashtag LetMeSayThis, because Nate Ryan is in the house.
He's in the house. Yes, he is.
Get ready for this.
That's him over there.
I see Nate. It was a big week.
I see Clint looking at you.
You can't see, but they're wearing the same shirt for
we
some
are?
Reason.
I don't know.
I don't know how
Hold
that
on
happened.
A minute.
Stripes and plaids. Stripes and plaids.
Just for the record, on camera it looks the same.
Yeah.
So this joke works.
Beans and Franks.
Frank and Beans. Have you seen my baseball? Let's talk about a big week
Real
for
nice.
You at home.
Hey!
There we go.
Don't look over here. It was Cash Money's birthday.
Yes.
It was, man. Big week. Fifth birthday.
Oh,
it's so weird. That's exactly
oh
what
my
I
gosh.
Said.
This
happened this afternoon. I've kept that little chopper Harley deal right next to my Harley the whole time in the barn. I had the devil, Ron Ditzfield, out of Sedalia, Missouri, gave him that bike when he was one for his first birthday.
Cool.
So Cash always, you know, he'd sit on that thing and walk by. He's like, let's fire it up. Of course, my old man's in town this week. So here they come.
Yep.
The Harley's fired up.
Oh my God.
Here he comes.
I liked it when
that
we
was
were
good.
We,
that was really
we were
good.
At your house for Racing Roots, and we see all the, you know, you got all your old Rat Rod and the Merc and everything else, and then here is this tiny motorcycle next to your Harley,
yeah.
And Cash was, I think, trying to ride the pig at that time.
Yeah.
Like he was.
They had the pig there.
It was a different. Right. It was a different era. But doesn't it feel crazy that he's five?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, you like
that is crazy.
Especially when you start, you know, you're going to school this morning and he's telling you a story, you know, trying to fib a little bit. I mean, that's the stuff that really cracks you up is when they try to, you know, pull one by you. I mean, that's what's happening right now. He's thinking he has gotten to the level where I'm smarter than dad already. Which at five, he might be.
He might be. You never know. Some days you're going to have good days and bad days. We're going to the phones. Clint Boyer is here, so you need to dial in right now, 844-NASCAR-NBC. Let's start out with NASCAR. What's on your mind, buddy?
He's the first guy, right?
Yeah.
Every week.
Always.
Still?
Always.
Yes. He called in at 7 a.m.
The undisputed champion.
He called into the track and field right before us. And
that's
tried
right.
To ask a
he was like, guys, wrap up the track and field. Clint Boyer's in the studio.
What you got, Carl?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Clint, congratulations on making it to the next round, my friend. What makes the Roval so much more different and difficult than the other two road courses that we go to?
Well, great question. The answer is yes, all of it. you know, it's like a hybrid between, you know, when I think of Sonoma, Kyle, I think of a short track of road courses. And then when you go to Watkins Glen, you think of like a mile and a half type of feel. And then all of a sudden, the grip level with the Roval is like the grip level at Watkins Glen since the repave and the tire that they bring there. You know, it just puts you on a grip level where that thing is either stuck like glue or the second thing it isn't, it's like you're driving on marbles. And then when you start talking about the short track of the inside of that Roval, like I was talking, you know, you need your car to turn. You're asking a lot of your car in a situation where you got those really tight corners in the infield of that track and then really big sweeping corners in other places. So to set your car up for that short track mentality of the inside but be fast enough to be, you know, upwards of 170 mile an hour on a big track, that's a two different mindsets when an engineer and a crew chief's setting up that hot rod. So, you know, as you're working on turn to make it better, now all of a sudden the thing's loose and it's up on top of the racetrack, you make mistakes, just like you saw all weekend long at that Roval. Very, very treacherous track.
It was really interesting. Through the infield, you guys looked like you were drifting. It almost looked like a drift because you're asking a car to go up a hill, turn off camber, stick, and go back to the throttle. It's just six different things at the same time, and it won't do
one. You're just literally asking the car to do things constantly on that racetrack that it doesn't want to do. And that's, I know that's the simplified version of you know, trying to explain what a race team and a driver for that part goes through at a track like the Roval, but you're asking a lot. And the engine, my gosh, man, I'm telling you, just tongue hanging out the whole entire time. Because you're in a situation, you're running at 175, whatever it is, 170, 180 mile an hour on those straightaways, and then all of a sudden you're in a situation where you're downshifting clear to first gear from fourth gear wide open. There is no other track that you do that. You start talking about Watkins Glen, the bus stop and things like that. That's a second gear, you know, cutting a pretty good clip through there still. First gear in that back chicane, you know, that's a slow, slow corner from such a crazy fast straightaway.
But before we get back to the phone, do you find yourself talking to yourself or about other people? Like, do you find you're cussing to other people more just to yourself on the Roval than another weekend, or you?
Well, I don't know if you've ever listened to my radio, but I clearly don't cuss.
No.
I mean, thanks a lot.
No, no. Yeah, I just mean to yourself off radio in your head, thinking, this guy's a real number
you mean
two
that button,
head.
You can hear that you, button actually.
Y'all hear when I push that?
Oh, do you have enough time, or is it just?
Yes, yes, yes. Especially at the Roval. My gosh, I mean, I about threw it away in the lead, man.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I come around there in between three and four. The opportunity is there almost every single corner on that Roval. You get to turn one, how many cars have we seen smoke the wall in turn one?
Oh, yeah.
Turn two, you see them wrecking there. Turn three, all weekend long, getting loose into turn three. Turn four, not so much, but you can still go off the track right there, especially when you're racing side by side, you know, on a restart of something else. Turn five and six, always carnage right there. Seven-time champion Jimmy Johnson wrecked there. Seven and eight, Blaney smoked the wall in between there.
Yeah.
He hit the wall so hard. I've never seen this before. It was like, going back to you, he's drifting. He hit it, boom, like that.
Yeah.
Two perfect donut Goodyear tires.
Oh, like it was just painted on
like,
there.
Like you went and painted Goodyear tires right there. Nothing else, just two Goodyears. I'm like, somebody hit hard right there. Then you're looking up there, you see the 12 balls, smoke flying out of it. I'm like, oh, bullet, you shouldn't have done that. But then the chicane, people wrecking all over. And then obviously, you know, getting into the last corner. Just very, very chaotic, challenging racetrack.
Well, guys, that was the whole show. I mean, we only got one call.
Yeah,
in.
Thank you for calling in.
I'm kidding. Let's go back to the phone. Cindy's on the line.
Yes, Cindy. He shouldn't have asked.
That was my fault. Cindy, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Good.
How are you, sweetie?
We're doing great.
This is Grandma Cindy from North Dakota.
Hi, Grandma.
I just got to say, I love the Roval. I love how you guys drive. Puts the race in the driver's hand. You're downshifting. You're going. You're in the throttle. I love it. I mean, I'm a wild woman. But Clint, let me just say, I had a vision. You are making it through. Okay?
Okay.
You keep the faith, son. I've been following you for years. I love
you. Gotta explain his vision.
Thank you
real
very
quick.
Much.
Is this vision tell you he's going to win this weekend?
Yes.
It did.
Oh,
I don't want to get ahead of myself.
You
but
guys heard it.
Yeah. Listen,
she has seen the light.
Grandma Cindy, we appreciate a good vision.
His grandma calls. Di Benedetto's bus driver calls. We got it all coming in right now.
This is amazing.
Thank you, Grandma.
Thank you very much.
Let's go get it done this weekend, all right?
You guys have a good night.
Thank you,
too.
Hey,
thank you for calling. I feel like this means you might have to give Grandma Cindy a shout-out from Victory Lane.
Yes.
Which means you're not going to remember. So if someone could write that down, that's at Stuart Haas.
I think SHR social media.
That's true. Ashland is here. She can tell me to write that down. Big fan.
She started that, by the way. I think we got one question answered.
You know what? Let's get another one in there.
I know we do.
So when you get done asking questions on this, please go to SHR, social media, whatever, and give her some questions. This poor girl, come up with one question.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Marvin Blue is on the line. Marvin, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, CB? How you doing, Clint?
Good. How are you?
How you doing, Rutledge? And how you doing, Kyle?
Great to hear from you, brother.
Hey, it's good to hear you guys, too. Hey, listen, Clint, what are the two toughest tracks are you looking forward to the least, Dover or the big one at Talladega on Sunday?
Well, I think if you're talking about this round, right, you got three races, and the wild card in this one is definitely Talladega. You know, anything can happen. Look at the last time we were at Daytona, I'm passing for the lead on the white, and get blocked and wipe out and crash. I mean, literally anything can happen. You got to put yourself in position. That means you got to unload a fast race car. You've got to make good decisions. You got to work with your teammate. You got to have your teammates. And those teammates at a track like Talladega are all your Ford teammates, not just your Stuart Haas Racing teammates. But anything can happen. It's definitely the most dangerous, you know, wild card race as far as making the next round and your quest for a championship. But again, my mentality at a track like that is it's an opportunity. You got to look at that track as an opportunity because you know a lot of people are concerned about that racetrack. Yeah. When I look at wild card races, I look full speed ahead with a smile on my face because at the end of the day, we've got to make up some ground and points, and that's a track that we can do that the easiest and the quickest. So Dover's a good track for me. Dover's a good track for our race team and organization. Definitely Dega is the one that sticks out to me. And then you cap it all off and hopefully go into the next round at my home track in Kansas. So fun round right here.
Yeah, great question. Let's go to Cooker. Cooker, you're kind of asking about the round of 12, too. What do you want to ask?
His name is Cooker.
That's right.
Yeah, I was just wondering what he thought his chances are going to be in the next two or three races.
Yeah, so out of those three, what do you feel like is your absolute best track of these
days? Oh, yeah. I thought you said, what are my chances?
I hope real good. Yeah, what's your best track out of these three? Which one are you?
I think Dover's definitely. You know, I looked to this, and again, I knew the last round. I knew Vegas was our weak link.
Yeah.
Everybody's got weak links, and everybody's got strong suits, right? I knew Vegas was our weak link. I had no idea we were going to be as bad as we were.
Yeah.
I mean, after we sat on the pole, and I'm telling you, I was like, uh-oh. I knew that car was extremely fast, but the way it felt, it just didn't make the grip. You know, it showed up on qualifying day in a big way, which was cool, man. At the end of the day, It's been a long time since I've checked that box and needed to check that box for a lot of reasons, the future and everything else. You know, we were able to take care of business at, you know, the next two and get ourselves into the next round. But for sure, Dover's our best chance to get the, you know, things started off on the right foot like we did not do in the first round. But if we don't get it done there, we proved last time that it can happen. You can still race your way in if you stub your toe in the first one.
Okay, I'm going to go there with you for a minute.
Okay.
Because coming out of Vegas,
yep.
The four guys that were below the cut line, you're the only guy that jumped in.
Yep.
75% of the guys that leave the first round didn't make this first round. First round's a tough round. How important is it to go to Dover? Do you
Big
believe
time.
For you guys, with all these other guys up here with playoff points and all that they have, how important is it for this team?
It's always very important.
Yeah.
And if you go back and listen to any interview that I did in Las Vegas, pre-Las Vegas, in other words, leading into the playoffs, any interview that I did, I said, you can't win the championship in Las Vegas, but you can sure lose it. And I believe that. And I went into that with that mentality. But at the end of the day, we finished 25th.
Yeah.
And if you really think about the year before, we did the exact same thing. We had trouble with Jimmy Johnson blew a tire and wiped us out and stubbed our toe again. That being said, as I look to the next round, the mile and a half that we stubbed our toe on, we're going to another one. I can't lean, you know, I can't go. I don't have a very good feeling right now going into Kansas after my last outing.
Got it.
You're only as good as your last at bat. My last at bat in a mile and a half wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Now, are we working hard to make that better? You're darn right.
Yeah.
Do I expect it to be better? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But facts are facts.
Good call so far. We're going to go to R.O. is on the line next. R.O., what's on your mind? Thanks for calling.
Well, I'm glad you guys are glad that Roval is over. And I want to tell you, Clint, that I think you're the new Joe Weatherly of racing.
What'd he say?
You're the new Joe Weatherly.
You Joe Weatherly, yeah. He was nuts. So are
you. We'll have to go back. We'll have to go back in time. We'll give him that later.
So he was a handsome fella, right?
Yeah, he was. Oh, yeah.
For sure.
You bet. He was a motorcycle champion and everything.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I hope you my man, Clint, and I hope you do good in the next three races and go on to the next one.
Thank you, pal. Where are you from?
I'm Roxburgh, North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Good.
Cool, man.
I know some people up there.
Yes,
yeah,
I do.
Absolutely.
Thank you for calling, man. Thank you very much.
We appreciate you calling.
Take care.
Thank you, buddy. Keep calling us up, 844-NASCAR-NBC. We got more of your calls with Clint Bowyer when we come back. Titles and bragging rights are on the line in the season finale for the IMSA WeatherTech Championship, the 10-hour Petit Le Mans at Road Atlanta next Saturday, October 12th on NBC and NBCSN. It's going to be amazing.
When is that?
We are still, but next Saturday, 12th. We're still buzzing over the IndyCar Chief Joseph Newgarden's demo run last Friday.
Way cool.
It was way cool. You were watching from where? You were on top of the pit box, right?
Yeah, the peacock box, whatever.
I mean, it was.
That's it. That's what we call it, too, the peacock box.
What's it called?
We call it the Mobile One Peacock Pit Box.
Hey, listen, man, he turned some, like 12 seconds faster than we ran.
No way.
In that space shuttle right there. It's not fair, though. They can hang him from a wall upside down.
That's true. Mythbusters always wanted to try it, but they couldn't find a tunnel long enough to see if you can really get it to stick.
Yeah.
You think it would?
I don't know.
That's only one way to find out.
It's the first time I've ever said, and we were all sitting down, and I'm like, I'd really like to get in that thing.
Try it. Yeah, one time. At a place like
this. Yeah.
Yeah, at a place that you knew.
Oh, absolutely.
At a place you knew. Yeah,
so you would, cool. Clint Bowyer, you would get in an IndyCar at the Roval and try
just
it.
Just that, Dave. Kim was gone, you know, the opportunity.
Yeah. There was a window.
Yeah, there was a window. Right. It opened and then it closed.
You out, I'm in.
Was it cool for you to hear, because I think you were still in the pit box when we interviewed Joseph, and he said the only bummer is he didn't get a chance to run it then in a stock car, like one of your cars right after.
Yeah.
And I thought, dude, how cool. He's an IndyCar champ, but he still wants to have that perspective to see what it's like.
Oh, absolutely. Get in our sleds. I bet he would be disappointed in the grip level.
He would be like,
highly disappointed in the braking ability and the grip level.
You mean as you come out of the chicane and you brake at the start-finish line to get into turn one?
He broke like 12
I'll tell you how good our cars broke this weekend. So they made a big thing out of the breaking zones and getting in the chicane and their emojis. One was a poop emoji.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If you got to the poop emoji, you do have poop on your hands. I'm talking not even close to the distance.
You
I don't know.
It.
They were driving. Whoever made the distance barriers was driving a tractor.
Yeah.
Okay. They were literally driving 3 miles an hour when they made those.
Okay, how about this? We're going to interject something here real quick. When Chase blew through and hit the wall down there
turn
while he
one.
Was
uh-huh.
yeah. turn one, and Jeff Burton and Junior and Letarte and all of them did, and our graphics department did a speed at the line on a restart and speed at the line on a regular 20 miles an hour different from a restart when they came out to go into the first corner to what a regular lap was coming out.
Oh,
of
the yeah.
20
yeah.
miles an hour different.
Very Chase, deceiving, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's what Chase said.
Yeah, right here. Check it out.
Yeah, when we interviewed him post, he was like, man, I knew I was faster, but 20 miles an hour faster.
Well, so, all right, so we all have markers, right? Exactly. Getting into those corners, you have 1, 2, 3 on the front straightaway. Yeah. 3's about it, right?
Yeah.
Going back to what I was saying, I don't know who picked those out. I guess Joseph Newgarden did, because there is no possible way you can get to a 1 or 2 or even close to that. So, like you said, when you're going 20 mile an hour faster, so that 3, the last marker was the last. That's it, bud.
Right.
That's where you're going. Yep. So now you're going 20 miles an hour fast, but you're short. So trying to figure out where I can get to, because if I lift early, I'm going to look like a fool because these guys are going to go ding, 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 ding. If I get in too hard, guess what? I'm going to look like a fool and win the race.
Yeah.
Do you think those signs maybe caused a little bit of that drama that we saw? Do you think that people were trying to, like, because it's
going
like,
back to where when you lost me or I lost you on the back straightaway.
Yeah.
So they started with 4.
Yeah.
Right, when we got there.
Jeff Burton said, you got to add some more.
Jeff said he told him.
And I was from driving his kid's car,
Supra,
right?
His passenger car.
We can't get to the 4, whatever this thing is.
I'm in a rental car and I can't get to the 4.
Yeah. So then we go to 6, right? So now the poop emoji is so far away, the joke's gone because you can't even see it.
Right,
And then, so we all get out there and everybody's blowing a chicane. So instead of, I don't know where the mentality, this is where expense is just no option. Instead of just moving them down with the numbers that you had, we just kept adding them. So we went from 1 through 4. No. They were 1 through 6, like, we'll just add another couple more.
Add 2 more.
So we come around there for a happy hour, and all of us did the same thing. They had so much crap out there. It's like sensory overload. And I thought I was the only one. As soon as we got the competition meeting after practice, Harvick's like, hey, man, anybody have trouble getting in the corner? There was stuff everywhere. I didn't know what to look at. So, like, we used those markers for breaking zones and reference points right on that racetrack. And when you add them, we've all heard the old stories back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
People used to pick a car in the infield, right? Or something as a break zone.
I'm going to lift at the Pontiac. Yeah.
Could you imagine how much fun you'd have drinking beer with your buddies if you knew that Cal Petty was out there using you as a marker?
Just move
the car. I haven't moved every lap.
Yeah.
Just keep coming in here.
This is fun, but it's a call-in show, so let's go
back to the phones.
Matt is on the line. He's got a question about Alex Bowman. Go ahead, Matt.
How you doing, guys? It's Motorhead Matt Stallings. How you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Got one comment and one quick question. Next year, if Front Row Motorsports is listening, have them take a look at Stuart Friesen. I think he's the man for the job. Second of all, here's my question. Alex Bowman, after the success of his second place and the great comeback he had at Charlotte, he finished second at Kansas, Talladega, and Dover this year. I guess I'll ask Clint, you know, with the issues he had with Wallace at the Roval, do we think that he can bring the focus and not make mistakes and pilot the number 88 car to victory lane next week at Dover, or this week at Dover?
Whether he brought the focus and all of that to the team, the equipment, everything else, if you keep making enemies, that focus is going to get denied. I can tell you that from experience.
Wait, from
in
past
the
experience?
Yes.
Hold on. You know what? We might have some of that past experience loaded up and ready. I was with some fans on top of the bus with a bunch of Cal Petty charity riders, and we turned around and we're like, oh, they're going a little deep in the braking zone, and then we watched it.
Yeah, so can they get by this? Yes. Is Alex Bowman and the Hendrick Bunch running very well right now? Absolutely. But one thing I know, did you see the anger on that kid's face walking away? That, like this.
It was this kind of anger, wasn't it?
If you keep... poking the bear, eventually they'll come out of the cage.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Hold on. You know, he's not the only bear that's been poked, is he?
No.
What about poor Ryan Newman's face? Have you checked on his face? Because
no.
It seemed like when this happened...
You know the most awkward thing about that? We're back to buddies just like we were before.
Y'all were
that's right. That,
friends
that's
that
exactly
morning.
Right.
We had a moment,
that,
bud.
You
for the record,
moment.
That wasn't just a run. You did like... You
that's
did
my
like
eyes. Everybody asked me like, what...
You did like...
Why didn't you wait or do something
okay.
like...
Angry run.
All right, so this week, the big conversation has been... the big conversation has been... So Alex is on the ground getting medical attention and Bubba throws water on him. If you're in Bubba's shoes... Can you pull yourself back and stop? Because you're on a mission to go tell that guy what you're thinking about. I don't know how
yeah.
you... I mean,
I think there's a... If they're crappie flopping on the ground, it's probably...
That's true. That's
you
true.
Missed your window.
You probably ought to wait until they get
yeah,
out of the chair
right.
center.
If they got the defib, if they've got defib, I got you. You know what I mean?
If they're pee, clear,
he's clear.
If I be...
If he's standing...
I'll give you a minute.
If he's standing...
Zest gets up, though, I'm going to get him.
If he's not on the ground, you were totally cool with
yeah,
everything,
yeah,
right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's, what do you think?
Nate's not Mike. You can't ask
but
him
here,
yet. That's not fair.
But the best part was when they went to and did Bowman when the race was over, Bowman said, yeah, I wrecked it. You know what I mean?
Hey,
I turned it.
They're racing for, at the
exactly.
end of the day,
exactly.
there's also, they're racing for a lot. There's
they
a
are.
Lot on the line.
Yes.
You've got to understand both sides. And
you've
we
been
all
on
know,
both sides.
And, absolutely.
Well,
yes.
you were there
yeah,
for the record.
On both sides.
And
you were
the
on
end
those
of the day,
sides.
Make no mistake about it, both sides are right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Really, because we watched
that's
you.
Why you end up with frustration
yep.
and arguments and fights. At,
yeah.
at the end of the day, both parties are right in that scenario. Both had a right to be
Bowman
frustrated.
Bowman did what he needed for his situation, and Bubba did what he needed for his situation. 100%.
Well, did you?
Can you please do your job?
Yes,
to the next
I will. But
deal?
You
go next caller, please.
No, we're going. Here's what we're doing.
Let's do it for him.
Watching you.
Quit
did
dragging
you?
Me into the fight.
No.
Like we're talking about Bowman.
Yes.
You see how fast you'd spun
you
it
moved,
to me.
You
he
moved
did that.
Forward. Here's the thing. Kyle made the point. 75% of the guys didn't. Were you? Did you feel like you were driving for more than just the championship? Like you weren't driving just to move on. It feels like all of that weight.
No.
Like,
you drive differently. It's different. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every deal is different. I was racing for a championship. And make no mistake about it, millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, literally. Yes, that trophy that stays with you forever, rings or whatever.
Yeah.
I said millions of dollars
yeah.
was at stake. You're darn right. If a guy's in my way or whatever, and there's not one person out there who wouldn't do the same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And if they did, they wouldn't be professional sports
yeah.
athletes or whatever you
yeah.
want to call us.
And they wouldn't be moving on to the
if
next
if you're not
round.
Willing to risk it all for that, it's clearly not worth it, and it wouldn't be worth it for you to be, you know, in that position.
We could almost put that on a t-shirt, but it was
there
a bit of
go.
A run-on sentence. We're going to have more of your calls coming up with Clint Boyer. But next, we're talking
thank
grassroots.
English professor.
Stay tuned. My mom is.
My track, my roots.
Take me
the one that I raced at the most is Lakeside Speedway. Kansas City, 5 miles down the road from, you know, Kansas Speedway right there. Old river bottom, you know, black clay, man, it'd pull your shoes off. It grip and rip. So I grew up racing on two wheels. I didn't care what kind of racetrack. It's like being at the, you know, if there was a competition to be held, I wanted to be in front of it, I wanted to win it. It wasn't until I was 16 that I started racing cars. Built this old piece of crap street stock car. And man, every night after work, we were working on that thing, and I just fell in love with it.
Take me home.
Everybody starts somewhere. The NASCAR Weekly Racing Series was definitely it for me. It gave me an opportunity to make not only a name for myself at that track, it gave me an opportunity to make a name for myself regionally and nationally.
Man, great. We love seeing those old pictures. A look at Clint Boyer's journey in grassroots racing. Pretty special, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh.
These guys.
I wish we'd been on air with
they
that
say some
way
funny
special.
Stuff in between.
I'm sorry, man.
You
that
know what?
Just caught me wrong.
I'm going to tell you all some great news. Tomorrow here on NBCSN, We are going to have an encore of Drivers and Dreams, grassroots racing in America. In case you missed it the first time, here's a sneak peek.
When you ask people, they often say, it's in my blood.
All these drivers and these teams, they work so hard, and they are ready to put on a show for you tonight.
People that were here want to be here. This is our weekend getaway.
All these races are cool on the short track just because there's so many fans that come out there every single weekend.
For me, the most important thing is to give him an opportunity to do something that he loves so much. That's really what this is all about.
There's nothing more important than the small town, the grassroots. There's nothing more important than racing.
Definitely not retired. I love doing it.
The racing community is bonded that way. Everybody has the same passion, and yet they come at it from many different angles. To me, that's America.
You can catch Drivers and Dreams tomorrow at 4:30. 4:30 Eastern here on NBC
Great
tomorrow
program.
After
Great
our
program.
Coverage from Dover. It is so
it's,
awesome.
It's really cool, man.
They're
really
covering well some really cool things. Yeah. Cool tracks, cool stories. And that's the neatest thing about any track in the country. There's stories. There's rivalries going on and great people driving in race cars with families.
Yeah.
Awesome, dude.
That being said, let's dive into some of those stories. With NASCAR in Delaware this week, it's a great time to visit the Diamond State for our 50 States in 50 Days tour. Delaware International Speedway first opened with a quarter-mile drag strip and then added a dirt oval a few years later. Bill Cathell founded the facility in 1963, and today his son Charlie carries on its tradition as its current promoter. Its local legend is Hal Browning. His career spans six decades.
Wow.
And Delaware was one of many tracks where he won. Delaware also hosts the Camp Farms benefit race, raising money for a summer camp that provides outdoor learning experiences for kids across the state. Remember to send us your short track photos and videos with the hashtag MyTrackMyRoots. From Citrus County Speedway in Florida, Jesse Dutilli scored 10 grand, 10 big ones, after winning last week's Full Throttle 100.
That's big money.
It is.
Huge money.
And at 35 Raceway Park in Ohio, we've got Jamie Harper celebrating a recent feature win in Hobby Stocks.
With an Acura. Check those wheels, man.
That's cool.
Rubber wood. Signature edition.
It looks like you got those out of my garage.
Signature edition wheels.
Shop and rut.
Now, we're going to find out what have you been saying at hashtag let me say this. Nate Ryan is going to tell us when we return next. You thought it was a huge deal that Kyle Busch is here. Nate Ryan is here,
yes,
too.
My
Nate.
Buddy.
NASCAR mandated that we have to be prepared for the rain. Nate, is that true?
You have to have a mechanism.
You have to have a mechanism. Anyways, whatever. Don't listen to Nate.
Does he really say greetings a lot? Like,
yep.
I've never noticed it.
Yeah.
As much as he says greetings.
Greetings.
There you go. Nate Ryan, your show.
Okay.
All
right.
Thank you, guys. It was the best YouTube show ever.
The hell of a show there, Nate. Hell of a show.
See you guys. Yes, Nate Ryan joins us now for Let Me Say This.
Hashtag Let Me Say This.
Greetings, Woo! Nate.
Greetings. We're going to start with Kenny Wallace.
Yes, Kenny Wallace?
What?
That Kenny
no
Wallace.
Way.
Yeah, Woo!
Kato! Even though he used the wrong hashtag, he's been on TV for too long, apparently.
When you're Kenny Wallace, so, you can do that.
Yeah, I guess so. Hashtag Motormouths from Kenny Wallace. Since Clint Bowyer has so many businesses and land interest in Kansas, will he move back when his NASCAR career is
Woo!
Over?
No.
Land Baron?
No, I'm married to a woman from New York, and I don't think that's going to happen. That's not in my future. Love Kansas, love going back there every chance I get, love meeting people at the dealership and our community building, love the charity stuff that we do there, but... Those are trips to go back
you
and stuff like
that. You
think
he's got a sheetrock business? Do popcorn ceilings and such?
Popcorn ceilings.
Nate, next one.
Okay. I was just going to say, Kenny.
He'll keep going.
I know. Yeah, I know. Well, I wanted to ask him, Kenny moved back. I just thought you might move back like Kenny did.
I go back every chance again.
Yeah.
I love Kansas.
You do
can
go
you
back
move
a
back
lot.
To Kansas? Yeah, I didn't even know.
From Donnie Aiken, hashtag let me say this. Will we ever see Jack Daniels back in NASCAR full time, maybe sponsoring Clint?
That would be way better.
It was honestly, I don't want to blow smoke.
Go ahead and call it.
I don't want to blow smoke. Yeah. It was the greatest driver sponsor pairing that I can think of in the past 20 years.
Yeah. I don't know who asked that question. Jack Daniels has not left NASCAR.
Donnie.
Okay, there are a lot of buses out there right now. Okay,
they're in a ton.
They did not.
Hey, Jack, if you're listening,
never leave home without Jack.
You've got to get back with this guy.
It was the greatest relationship
with any driver ever, and I promise you, sales will go through the roof. Make it happen, Mr. Jack Daniels.
It was cool to see him back on a race car.
It was cool.
All right, hashtag let me say this from Ray. Big question here. With the new changes coming in 2020 and 2021, what is Clint's opinion on what will make the biggest impact in NASCAR?
Well, I think that's the question, and that's the most important thing. You know, we heard the rules, announced yesterday, and everybody speculates and has opinions on everything. For me, I want the racing to be as good as it's ever been. That's the goal, right? Goal number one, forget all the rest of the stuff, the politics and anything else. Make no mistake about it, we're in the entertainment business. That's my opinion and not anybody else's, but I think sometimes we worry about the business of our sport and not so much the entertainment of the sport. And I think it's a dangerous thing to lose track of that. When I look at any other sporting event, I go to a football game, I go to a Chiefs game for the event to have a good time and to watch a good football game. Yeah. I don't go because of anything else. That's why I go. So I feel like if this car enables us to put on a better show at some of these racetracks that I feel like we struggle at, mile and a half in general, I'm all for it. But I still believe that we have hurdles other than a body, other than a chassis, and other than fixing teams' budgets. We've got to get, we just talked about one of them, we got to get companies like Jack Daniels back involved and connected to our fan base, because I still believe in a product. And it's not still, like, I've never, ever once wavered from the product and of NASCAR and the tool of NASCAR and how that can help on the business side, but the connect to our fan base that's the fun side of it for me. That comes easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I'm proud of our sport and mm-hmm. the entity that it is, the entertainment value that it is. And that's why when we go over there and you meet fans that have been there for the first time, I can't tell you how many fans I meet every single week that it's there for their first race they've ever witnessed.
Tons.
That happens.
All the time.
All you hear is the negative stuff. Ain't no different turning on the news in the morning. I'm telling you, every single week I meet hundreds of new fans.
And how do you make a fan of this sport? You bring them to a race.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. One time, bye. I'm in.
But you got it. No. You've got to do your job too. And us as an industry, us as NASCAR, and make sure we're putting a good product on the table. It's all about, I call it wow factors. It's about my old man going back, a guy like him, his age, 60, late 60s, him going to the coffee shop Monday morning and telling the boys all about it and them being interested because there was wow factors. Yeah. A kid 5 years old or 8 years old goes to school and tells the class about his Sunday afternoon because of those wow factor moments. You've got to have that highlight reel. And sometimes we check that box and oftentimes we don't.
So let's bring the wow.
Often. Yeah.
That's why Nate Ryan's here. We're bringing the wow. Nate, we love you. Don't go anywhere. We're going to have more of your phone calls next on Motor Mouth with Clint Boyer. Stay on the phone if you're on there. Sunday night, Jacoby Brissett leads the Colts to Arrowhead to take on reigning MVP Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Football night in America kicks off at 7 Eastern, only on NBC.
Do you have a favorite playoff moment? Your favorite Chiefs or Royals moment?
Well, I wish we had that championship game to live over again with the Chiefs and the Patriots. I'm pretty sure we won that game. Refs thought otherwise. I want redemption. I want that same exact game at Arrowhead. Chiefs and the Patriots going to go down again. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are going to win the championship, win the Super Bowl.
And y'all should know, my man's not bitter at all. Jacoby Brissett.
Did you see that?
You want to say
officials?
Brissett. Hey, so here's what we're going to do. We got a bunch of people on the phone. We're going to get through these so we can get to as many people as possible. Let's start with Clint, who's on the line. Clint, what's your question for Clint, buddy?
Hey, Clint. I'm from Outer Banks of North Carolina.
Love it.
I'm getting ready to come to Martinsville in a couple of weeks. I got to cook a pig that weekend, but I'm coming that way. I'm hoping you do good at that track. I always get you in the pool. Kind of buy your way in, but get you some. I need you to help me.
There we go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, let me know where that pig eating goes down, because Rut and I might join in on that festivities. But I love Martinsville. I appreciate you coming down to it. That is definitely one of my tracks on the list. When I tell a fan that hasn't been to a track, ask me where to go, Martinsville's high on that list.
Next on the line, we got Bob. Bob, thanks for waiting. You have a question about this guy's driver, don't you?
Yeah. Clint, I was wondering what happened to Don O'Neill.
Well, he blew out his knee, actually had to have knee surgery and was out for a few months there. But he's back. They're racing up in Pennsylvania this weekend. I have two races up there up north, and a lot of money on the line this weekend. So hopefully you'll be seeing him on my Twitter feed and all across social media this weekend.
You're talking
about for him to light it up. The real deal,
the
baby.
The real deal, Don O'Neill. Right. That's right.
The only one.
Bob, thanks for hanging. Next up is Imelda. Imelda, what's your question for Clint?
Hi, guys. Hi, Clint. Hey, I want to let you know you are one of my husband's favorite drivers, and I just want to say congratulations on how well you're doing on the playoffs. But my question is there one of the remaining races, is there one that you are more worried about than the rest?
Yeah. You know, in our world right now in the playoffs, it's three races at a time. You know, it used to be you worried about 10, you know, and you really focused on 10 races and looked down the line. Right now, it's three races at a time. Dover, Talladega, and obviously Kansas. Talladega is definitely the wild card race. You can establish yourself quite well at Talladega and possibly, you know, not even have to worry about Kansas. But, push comes to shove. I think our race team and our organization's up for the challenge as good as anybody, and I'm certainly no exception. I'm ready for it.
Thanks for the call. Next up, we're going to Landon. Landon, you've got a question. You're looking for a little advice. Is that right?
You're looking at the wrong place, Landon.
Well, I just wanted to know how I could, gain my way up to the ranks.
You want a little advice on being a driver. Landon, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
Ten.
Are you racing now, cool, Landon? Man.
No, but I like to, play on my PlayStation, racing games.
I love it. Hey, that's where it started with my little man. And honestly, I remember back, you don't remember. You remember Excite Bike, Landon.
Oh,
we had Excite Bike.
It was Excite Bike.
You may have had an Atari, not a Nintendo. But Landon, I'm telling you, family has always been a racing sport for me. Certainly has for Kyle over there. I've said this time and time again, you know, listening to your parents, they know, you know, and they're the ones that can put in the time and effort and financially to help you get started and established within a sport, any sport. But the one thing I can tell you in any sport, whether it's baseball, football, racing, or anything, it's a work ethic, willing to put in the time and dedication. You've got to be able to dedicate it all. And racing is very expensive. And you can't do it alone.
Yeah.
There's no I in that. And at 10 years of age, I'm telling you, it's definitely a family sport. Get your parents into it, and you're going to go a long ways. I struggled for a while until I got my dad hooked on it. Once dad got hooked, business picked up, baby. Thanks for the call.
Man.
Good luck.
Thank you very much, man. That's a cool call.
That we can have so many calls and we can end with a 10-year-old from West Virginia who wants to get into racing.
Yeah.
How's it feel to know you inspire people? That's a cool thing.
Well, as you can tell from me just being a smart aleck, I was like, oh, no. I thought it was an older person. Then as soon as I heard his voice, I was like, man. But, it is cool to be in a situation no different than you when I was growing up or anything else to have people that you look up to And the neatest thing about any of this is your kid, just like Landon, if he can get established and start racing that 78 Camaro that I raced at Thunder Hill Speedway and get an opportunity at Lakeside, never dreaming of NASCAR at all. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, one door opens, the next door opens, one opportunity you make of it, you're down and out, you get another opportunity, you look over and here's Kyle Petty. You know, that guy that you grew up watching. That's the coolest feeling of anything where I'm at right now.
What's cool?
Being able to race against legends.
It's cool having you on the show. Thank That's you. All the time we got for Motor Mouse. This is Clint Boyer. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the playoff weekend from Dover. Go get them.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.